This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. The two-tone era has left a lasting impact on Irish music fans. In this episode of What's the Ska, we explore all things two-tone.
So basically what's going on is I'm doing a documentary with the ska scene in Ireland. It's called What's the Ska.
Do you know what, actually, I have a funny story now I'm going to tell you.
Are you? What's that?
Well, you know, it would be one for this now maybe. Like, yeah. You know, my uncle Michael bought me Complete Madness, right? I asked him to buy it for me, obviously. I didn't know exactly where. And then, so that would have been 82 maybe, would it? Complete Madness would it?
That'd be about right. House of Fun came out around the same time.
82?
Yeah.
And then in 2000, when the Cock with the All-Ireland, 10 I think, was it?
Ask the boys, don't ask me. I'll tell you when Dublin won it.
2010. No, so I have the right year.
Yeah, it's not a question.
My uncle was dying in Cork Hospital.
Yeah.
Same uncle. And I had you get a freaky thing in the middle of the night and you wake up, you know there's something wrong, kind of thing, like.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I learned it in 2010, yeah. I woke up and my mother and rang, and she texted me saying, "Ring me, Michael is only hanging in there. We need to go to Cork." And I went downstairs and found Complete Madness.
Yeah.
Right, and I brought it to Cork Hospital with me.
Yeah.
So he was in intensive care, and I put Complete Madness up behind him. Now he was big into classical music.
Yeah.
Right, he had no affiliation with Madness. And the nurse came in checking his pulse, whatever, and she goes, "Oh, was Michael a Madness fan?" And I said, "It couldn't be further the truth." I said, "He bought me that album in 1982." Blah blah blah. And she said, "You know what? It makes a difference from Pedro Pio stick or something." Yeah, to see Madness album. And she said, "We all need a bit of madness in our life."
And she's got right.
So there, that's a story now.
That's a lovely little story.
That was Aidan O'Connor, the proprietor of Mike the Pies, the award-winning venue in Listowel. We'll be going back to Kerry later, but first, here's Clive Baker. He played saxophone with Synergy, and he grew up in Birmingham in the two-tone era.
Yeah, I was there at the time.
Yeah, thank you, Clive. We know. Set the scene for us.
A good scene. There was a lot going on. Ska-wise in Birmingham, there wasn't a great deal. Coventry seemed to be the epicentre of it in the Midlands. We had the Beat, of course, but it was a lot of punky reggae stuff and roots reggae.
Over here, we know the records because that's what came to us. We saw the bands on the television, we saw the videos, and we heard the records. But it was hard enough for an Irish lad to see the bands of that era live. Were you going to the clubs and the pubs and seeing them live?
Yeah, we were going to gigs most weekends. You know, you'd see bands, you know, the Beat, the Selector, the Specials. You'd see them at, well, gigs all over the place. And as the movement got more popular, they played bigger places, you know. You'd see them in small pubs, you know, to start with. Everybody was going to the gigs. There was definitely the Tribes were there, the Punks, the Skins. Well, not so much the Skinheads, but there was some of them. The Rastas, the Reggae Heads. But everybody was mixed in together. It was a real melting pot.
The two-tone era brought black and white people together and also represented a fusion of musical styles. Here's Brian Desmond and Michael Hussey.
I think the punk music was more, people were afraid of it, the establishment were afraid of it. A ska had, to me, was kind of political, but it was fun and entertainment as well. And the ska was more kind of acceptable to a point with the older generation and the establishment radio stations, in that the Bees had brought out songs, not just their own brilliant songs, but they brought out cover versions. And I think it was Andy Williams' "Can't Get Used to Losing You," which was a great song from a previous era.
Sure.
Now they're bringing it out to a new younger generation, but the mammies and the pappies kind of remember that as well. You know what I mean?
The Tears of a Clown, Smokey Robinson film.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean. And they were respectful and, you know, touching on all that kind of stuff. It was more easier music to a point, of fun music. I think, like, with rock and punk and a lot of other music, it was definitive kind of, but. You get a scare night out, you know what I mean? You know, you get everyone out there, out in the dance floor dancing.
The thing about ska as well is, originally it was a dance music. So once you heard ska music, all you wanted to do was get up and dance.
Out of this came Jerry Dammers and the Specials, who soon came to the attention of Chrysalis Records. Jerry had high hopes and big ambitions.
Jerry was the main pioneer. It was his baby. Chrysalis signing the band was a big deal. It wasn't just about signing a band and giving them a 3-album deal or something like that. His vision was that whoever they signed to had to also agree that he would present them with bands, and he wanted 10 singles a year. You can imagine all the labels think, oh, well, hold on a minute, you know, who are these other bands? And he probably hadn't thought about it this at the time, but that's what his vision was. He wanted to become like Motown and present that sort of freedom to be able to do that. And so it was quite innovative of its time.
That was John Teflon Sims, the two-tone designer. Owen Kavanagh from Tremor has a deep affection for the two-tone era.
There's so much about it. It was kind of everything it stood for as well. Coventry and in the UK when Maggie Thatcher was involved and
Stand Down Margaret,
Roger, yeah, all that kind of that whole vibe. I don't know, it just sucked me in. You know, it was like working class people and working class music from, you know. I just love it, you know. It was kind of progressed from punk and reggae, and you got the ska music in the middle.
Irish ska fans and bands frequently visit the UK. The Skatuesques have played in Dublin Castle, Camden Town. Here's Denise.
We've had the grace of playing Dublin Castle in Camden, where Madness played their very first gigs. I think it was 77, 78. And we've had the joy of standing on that stage.
And what's that room like, Dee? I've never played in that room. Tell me what that room is like as a music room.
It's a sweatbox. It's small. It's dark. A corner stage. Small little bar in the corner. Soundbox at the back. It's like you're playing on the 10th level of hell. It's that hot. But it is one of the most phenomenal places. It is just full of musical history. Like the iconic photograph of Madness on the Steps, we've sat there and had the same photograph taken. It's phenomenal. And the crowd, there's every walk of life in that crowd. And it's beautiful and they are so accepting. And it's full, it's rammed, packed. And like people don't care, they're sweating. And you actually, it's so funny that it's that hot, it's coming down from the ceiling and dripping on you. But you don't care. Doesn't seem to care, no more wind in his hair as he reaches his last half mile. The old snaps in his head before he reaches dry land, but the sound doesn't dampen his smile. Just pokes at wet sand with an oar in his hand, floats off down the river.
The two-tone era has left a legacy of great songs. We're going to revel in the pleasure of the sound for a while as ska fans talk about the music they love. First up, Owen Toomey has been paying close attention to the growth of the Specials.
It's great, you know, because I do listen back to a lot of the Trojan Records stuff, the very early stuff. You can almost see it taking shape, you know, to what the likes of the Specials took on board. You had Horace's jazzy bass lines, you had Roddy's almost rockabilly guitar, but you had Linville's skank underneath it, you know, and then you had John Bradbury's fours, which cemented the whole thing together.
Absolutely, and then the twisted lad on the keyboard, bringing it all sorts of places.
He was just a genius, you know what I mean? He just lit the whole thing, you know?
I have to say, out of all the bands of that generation, Specials were my bands, they're the band that I loved, you know. And like, you know, like I love the Beat, I love Madness, yeah. Selector, they're all fantastic bands. But I think for me, the Specials were the ones that won me over to that kind of music.
That was Ian Walsh. His top band is the Specials. For Vincent Foley, it's Madness.
Ever since I was a wee little small guy, I suppose like everybody else, you know, around the early 80s, Madness were everywhere. Top of the Pops every Thursday night, you know, like, every single magazine they were on the cover of. And I suppose it was a very kind of a lad's thing about Madness as well, that nearly every guy growing up in school had Madness patches on their bags or something like that.
And Soaks haircuts as well.
Yeah, like. Some of us are still supposed to change that haircut. But I suppose it went beyond the ska brief. They became more pop. Yeah. And I think that's what some people kind of sometimes pigeonhole Madness as being two-tone. They had one song on the two-tone label, The Prince, one single. Then they moved to Stiff, which was a kind of a bit more an eclectic label, really. It had everything from Ian Jury to Kirsty MacColl to everything else. And with Stiff, they did very, very well, and it was a production, really, a conveyor belt of hits from 79 up to 84, really, and then it kind of dried up for a while. But I mean, irony is they're more popular now live than they've ever been. They're playing to massive crowds in an era of downloads and albums that are not selling. They're making massive money now. But to get back to the North London scene, I suppose Madness came along in North London, a very kind of an Irish part of Camden as well. With all that influence, because there was a Jamaican feel as well, probably there. There was a lot of the Irish music as well, and that kind of homogenised into some kind of influence on the band.
Bad Manners were never on the two-tone label, but they did play on the two-tone tour. Here's Kevin from the Hacklers.
They were kind of viewed as the bit of a joke on the whole two-tone thing, but they were fantastic musicians, and Buster was very hands-on with the whole sound of Bad Manners, and there was a lot of comings and goings in the band, but we were lucky enough to play with them a few times. We supported them in Ireland here, we played with them in Germany, we sat down and had a few beers with him. He's a really nice fella, he's really down to earth, and like, I was a big fan of Madness in the early days, not so much later on, but to me, Bad Manners were right up there with the Specials for me. I just really, really liked them, you know. I liked all their tunes.
The Selector had several single releases on two-tone, including this top 10 hit, 3 Minute Hero. It's been a very poignant experience to make this documentary in the year that Ranking Roger from The Beat passed away. He had strong links with Ireland, and everyone I spoke to about him expressed grief and disbelief and paid tribute to the man's character and his music. One tune in particular from The Beat stands out.
I mean, there was massive social change at the time because of deindustrialisation of, especially the Midlands. It was a big industrial area, and all the jobbers went when the Tories came in 79, which coincided with, you know, the ska, rise of ska. Yeah, there's The Beat there saying how unpopular she was, like, you know, just stand down. That was the general.
She was only just in the job.
Yeah, it was the general feeling, like, that was putting it mildly.
There had been major unrest in the UK before that, the 3-day week and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Britain was a mess, I'd say, at the time, before she came in, and she just made it worse.
My first birthday, once I moved to Ireland, the day after that birthday, which was my first birthday in Ireland, she did stand down, and I was living in West Cork and was in Clonakilty the day after my birthday, and went into the Barrows and somebody had put on a tape in the Barrows and that was playing. It was that first album and everyone was like singing along to Stand Down Margaret.
That's a fist in the air moment.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
One band keeping two-tone alive in Ireland today is The Service. And I'm lucky enough to have spent the last 5 years playing keyboards with this Cork-based outfit. But the band first took flight 25 years ago. One Sunday morning after a gig the night before, I had a chat with founder, member and drummer Kevin McCarthy about the origins of the band.
Is this the end place to be? What am I doing here? I'm watching the girls go by.
The Service is a two-tone tribute, revival, celebration. So why did ye and the lads decide back in the 90s that two-tone was the music you wanted to play together?
Basically, I suppose for myself, my own point of view, I had a lot of older brothers and they would have been interested in Scan, that the records would have been lying around the house. So I would have started with Madness and then progressed to the Specials and the Beat and all that. It was a natural progression for me. I just loved listening to it. I was drumming for a long time. It was a case of this is what I wanted to play. So we just got it going in 93 after school, or while we were still in school. We got a band room on a weekly rental basis, which became a kind of a clubhouse. So there'd be more people actually listening to the rehearsals than being part of the rehearsal. So it was a case of 3 or 4 nights a week.
The Service built up a reputation as a live act in Cork and got some prestigious support slots. Vincent Foley, who years later would go on to play saxophone with them, remembers one of those nights.
I was just there as a punter in the audience, and the selector were supposed to come on. I don't know, was it the Forum it was called in Cork, or it was next to Sir Henry's anyway, the back room of it. It was just a different name. And I think the Service were playing first, and the brief was basically play whatever you want, but just don't play the selector stuff, which was fine, and they were going through the motions and the whole lot. But the band at the time, the selector, were coming over in the ferry, I think, from Rosslare or something, but they were actually late. And the boat was late, and there was a storm, and the car was late, and the journey down to Cork was taking longer than was expected. So the Service were just told to keep playing, and the crowd were loving it. They were well up for it. Yeah. And by the time that the selector actually got in, I think they were a bit kind of intimidated by how well the Cork boys had actually done, and they were left with just a few small little relics of the two-tone era to play. You know,
there you go. I bet they were delighted to get off the hook, like after the delay in the ferry.
That's it. If I remember right, John Bradbury, who was with the Specials, was actually playing drums with the selector at that gig.
Since coming back on stage, the Service have found a settled lineup, including bass player Owen Toomey.
That night, I went to see the Service in the Poor Relation. There was a few in, but there wasn't many what you'd call ska heads in, you know. And I think within the 5 years of me being in the band, we've seen a whole new fan base, a whole new ska and skin people coming through, you know. Now a lot of them were obviously of my own age, and that. Thought ska was gone and forgotten about. And then when the Service started playing more and more on Cork and outside Cork, I think we generated a fantastic fan base.
We do, and they're very kind to us as well. I mean, there's always the crack and the bit of banter, but there's all these things. The social media t-shirt phenomenon is amazing, like.
It's brilliant. It's great to see them all away on their holidays, you know. But the different parts of the world have been serviced. I just think it's phenomenal, and it's a testament to the lads, you know.
Hello. Just to remind you, and hello, Anyone who doesn't have one, I can see one or two who doesn't already have a t-shirt, included Sully. They're €15 and one size fits all, so there's no need to ask. Except for Chris Tyler.
Except for Chris Tyler.
Who can't get anything to fit him.
We have... We saw two together for Chris.
So that'll be 30.
I think the first time I saw a set of Service t-shirts as well as the customised ones was Aidan down at Mike the Pies had done a t-shirt up with all the bands that had played there, and we weren't on it. There was a list of bands on the back and we just took the piss out of them for not putting us in the t-shirt. And the next time we played, he turned up with a full set of the Service t-shirts. Do you remember that?
I do. That was brilliant. I mean, there you go. Like, he saw a load of those, I think, on the night. So, I mean... We were saying, like, light bulbs going off in my head, like, gotta get our own t-shirts. And they were quite a nice design as well. But that's right, yeah, he got a bit of a slag in that time, eh? Lovely venue as well, and a great guy, geez. But I mean, such a welcoming pub and people and the whole lot, like, it's absolutely fantastic to be part of that as well. It's a great gig.
Look, all I can say about the Service, to be fair, from the first time we came here, the atmosphere was incredible, you know, and we took out all the seating in the back. Everyone was dancing non-stop. There's a great vibe, obviously, with Ska. You're constantly, you start off maybe just tapping your foot to every song, even though you don't know the song, you get to know the rhythm and stuff. You know, before you know it, you're bopping slowly and slowly, and before the night is out, you're skanking full stop, you know.
Are you ready to stop? Okay, when we say stop, you have to stop, all right? And then we start again, but do you know what it means, yeah? Stop.
Scorchio!
It's easy. Just listen. Listen out for the word stop and then just stop, okay? Simple. We done it at a five-year-old's party last week. They knew it straight away. They had it.
Rankin, come forward.
Denise Gallagher, Scatu-esque D, has seen the Service in action.
I've seen it at your gigs. I've seen it. It's so funny. It reminds me, like, you know, the big gospel masses where people get up out of a wheelchair and they're like, I can walk. You know what I mean? Because they just get up out of nowhere and they absolutely light the dance floor on fire. It does that to people. Full stop, stop.
Yeah. All right. 25 years since the Service first played a gig. That's a phenomenal achievement that the music has survived, that the friendships have survived, and the enterprise and the band has grown. It's a real feather in your collective caps. And it's yourself, Trevor, and Damien are the original members who are still with us, right?
That's right, you know, and I suppose, like, it probably lasted so long was because we were apart for so long as well, you know, and I think those little breaks where it doesn't tot up to 25 years, but it just kind of creeps up. Then you say 25 years ago, that was our first gig, and I remember walking into that venue. I don't remember much about the actual gig, but the excitement and the youth. I think you get a little bit of that back every gig, you know. You become like a young man again for every performance.
John Sims selects the closing track. Originally a hit for Dandy Livingston, later for The Specials. Both versions feature Rico Rodriguez on trombone.
Probably a message to you, Rudy, you know. Message to you, Rudy, you know, that would be good. Because I think that is classic pointer and direction to people, you know.
Problems in town. Oh, Rudy.
on the next episode of What's the Ska? We're moving on to the third wave and the punk side of things. I go to Belfast to find out about the scene there, and the featured Irish band is The Hacklers. What's the Ska was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Written, produced, edited and presented by Anna Dowling. A Community Radio Y'all production. Everybody can do the Ska.